Open your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want to remind you that there is no choir practice tonight. So we'll be taking that off, and so we'll start that up again next week. And it'll be in the fifth Sunday of the month. We allowed the Sunday school teachers to just take a day off this morning, so glad to have them in here for Sunday school. Philippians chapter 3, book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, look if you would, starting at verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, not as though I had already attained, Paul said, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for those that came out, Lord, in the weather to come to church this morning, Lord, those who were able to, and Lord, Lord, I just pray that you be with those who are unable to be here this morning as well. Lord, it's cold. There's a lot of ice on the roads, Lord. But I'm thankful for this warm church house that we have, Lord, that we can come in here and worship you today. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have, Lord, where we can come to church and the privilege that you've given us, Lord, in this country that we can publicly worship you without having to face any persecution. Father, help us to not take that for granted. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as the message is preached, I pray, Lord, that you'll just fill me with your spirit. Lord, give me the words to say. Lord, I pray that the hearts of these people, Lord, will just want to hear from you this morning and do something about it, Lord, if there's any conviction given to them. If there's one person here, Lord, that's not saved this morning, Lord, what a way to bring in the new year to being a new creature in Christ. I pray that this morning, Lord, they'll call upon you for salvation. And Lord, if there are Christians here this morning, Lord, that need to get something right with you in their life, Lord, if they need to just make some changes, Lord, I pray that they will commit to doing that this morning, Lord, and not as a New Year's resolution, Lord, that it gets forgotten about after a couple of months, but Lord, as a changed life, Lord, and I just pray that they will just get rid of whatever it is, Lord, that may be keeping them from serving you. Lord, if there's some sin that they're harboring, whatever it may be, Lord, I'll just pray that this morning, Lord, you'll show them what it is and they can take care of it, Lord, that when we leave today, that all of us, Lord, can say that we commit to living better lives for you, Lord, more committed lives for you, and to just live the way you want us to live and do the things you want us to do, trusting in your power to get it done. Now, I pray, Lord, that you'll just keep us from anything, Lord, that may be disturbing us this morning. And help us to stay focused on your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we being New Year's Eve, we come to the end of another year. And if you're like me, I ask myself this morning, where in the world has a time gone? You know, I don't know that I've ever seen Christmas come upon us and go so fast. I mean, it would seem like I was just looking forward to Christmas, and now all of a sudden it's a week ago. You know, it's past. And I wonder where the time goes, and it seems like it was only just a while back, and we were bringing in 2017. Time flies, amen? Maybe it just goes faster when you get older. I remember when I was a kid, it didn't seem like time went by so fast, but I don't know, once you hit, you know, 50, I think time goes a little faster. In fact, I told my oldest son here last week, I said, you know, once you hit 25, you have to start counting by fives. Because, you know, I look back and I don't even remember my 30s. It's like I never even lived them. But it just seems like time moves so fast. And I often wonder why that is, why we think that time moves by fast when it really doesn't, but we think it does. And I think that one of the reasons why it seems to move by fast is because we know as Christians that we're living in the last days. And we know that the judgment seat is coming. We know that death is coming. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. We know that day is coming. And sometimes I think we want to make up for lost time when it comes to serving the Lord. I think another reason that time goes by so fast is because there are so many things that we want to do that we haven't done. And we just don't take the time to do some of those things. And then when we look up, all of a sudden it's a year older and we still haven't done those things that we had made plans to do. And we say, wow, time really went by fast. There are all sorts of reasons why we think that time moves by fast. But rather than focusing this morning on how fast time seems to be moving, and rather than focusing on all the things that we should have done this past year and didn't do, I want you to focus this morning on just one thing. Just one thing. And I want you to focus on what you're going to do this coming year. What are you going to do this coming year? I'm not talking about making plans for maybe to paint your house or put siding on the house or make plans for vacation or things like that. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about what are you going to do for the Lord this coming year? And like I said, not saying, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to serve the Lord more. And then all of a sudden, in a couple months, forgetting about that. You know, people do make New Year's resolutions and they don't last very long. And if you don't believe that, you need to go to the local gym, okay? Because you'll always know from January 1st to about February 15th, it's packed. But after that, it starts getting back to normal. Why? Because everybody made the resolution, hey, I'm going to get in shape, and we're going to make a change this year. And that lasts for about a month and a half, and then all of a sudden, it's back the way it used to be. And so, you know, when it comes to serving the Lord and making the commitment to serve the Lord, don't let this be just a New Year's resolution that you commit to doing, and you're fired up about it, and then all of a sudden, just let it go by the wayside after about a month and a half. Go through with it. Serve the Lord more this coming year than you served Him this past year. Serve the Lord more this coming year than you've ever served Him before. Now, in order to make a commitment like that and doing things like that for the Lord, I think it's important for us to ask ourselves this one question. And I don't want you to give me an answer, but I want you to ask the question to yourself. And that question is this. Is the Lord satisfied with what you did for Him last year or this past year? Is the Lord satisfied with what you have done for Him this past year? Is He satisfied with the way the life that you lived? Is He satisfied with what you have done with what He has given you? Everybody in this room has talents that the Lord has given you. Everybody in this room has a gift that the Lord has given you. And you're expected to use that gift for the glory of God. What have you done with that gift this past year? Did you use it for Him? He's entrusted you with it. We are supposed to be good stewards, according to what that Bible says. Good stewards with what the Lord has given us. Is He satisfied with the time that you gave Him this past year in your everyday life? If God could write you a report card this morning on what you did for Him this past year, what do you think your grade would be? What do you think it would be? Don't worry so much about what the grade would be. Think more about how you're going to improve that grade this coming year. What are you going to do different? What are you going to do this year? And are you willing to do more for the Lord this coming year than you've done it before? Now, when I ask myself that question of, is the Lord satisfied with what I did for Him this past year? I'm not satisfied with what I did for the Lord this past year. So I don't see how He could be satisfied. And maybe you could say this morning, you know, I think I gave God all the time that He deserved in my life. Maybe you could say this morning, I gave God a place, the place in my family that He deserves. Maybe you could say, you know, I believe that God is perfectly satisfied with the life that I lived this past year for Him. Maybe you could say that. And if you could say that, keep up the good work. I want to encourage you, keep it going. Don't stop. But if you're like me this morning, I think that you could say, you know, I think I could have done more. I could have done more this past year than I did. Well, this coming year, make a commitment to do more. Do more for Him. I'm not telling you that doing more for the Lord is going to save you. I'm not saying that any of that, but I am saying this. God demands to be served. God demands obedience, and He deserves our very best. Amen? I mean, if there's one person who deserves our very best, it's the one who died on the cross to save us from our sins, who didn't have to even come to this earth to do that, but He did. The only reason that you even have any hope this morning as a Christian is because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. And what doesn't it make sense that we should give Him our very best? He certainly gave Himself for us. Amen. Now, I really believe it's in the heart of every Christian to want to serve God. I truly do. I believe that everybody in this room as a Christian here wants to please God. And I believe as believers, we all want to please God more and more in our lives. But because of the influence of the world, the influence of the flesh, the influence of our adversary, the devil, because these different influences we have, sometimes we give into those influences. We give into those temptations. And the next thing you know, it's a year passed and we didn't do for the Lord what we intended to do for the Lord because we got sidetracked. The devil got us looking at things that we shouldn't have looked at, got us doing things we shouldn't have done, got us busy, 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 so busy that we can't even have time for the Lord. And all of a sudden, another year has passed. And we look back and say, wow, I wished I'd had done more for the Lord. Here in this passage of Scripture, Paul gives us three key things that we must do this coming year if we are going to please the Lord more this coming year than we did this past year. Three things that we must be committed to do in order for our lives to be more pleasing to the Lord this coming year. And the very first thing that we're told to do this coming year is that we must, as Christians, be dissatisfied with our lives before the Lord. In other words, what I'm saying is this, is don't get comfortable where you're at because you can be doing more. And that's exactly what Paul was saying here in verse 12. Notice he said this in verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul was satisfied with Jesus, but Paul was not satisfied with the life that he was living. Now the problem is this, folks, as Christians, today we sometimes get satisfied in our Christian walk, and the reason that we get satisfied in our Christian walk is because we don't compare ourselves to perfection. We don't compare ourselves to Christ. We compare ourselves to other Christians. And when we start to compare ourselves to other Christians, then we start to say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I'm a pretty spiritual fella. I've been going to church. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. Old Joe, you know, old Mike over here, he hadn't been doing it. And Susie over here, she hadn't been doing it. So I'm doing pretty good. Well, the problem is we're not to compare ourselves to other Christians. We compare ourselves to Christ. We compare ourselves to what the Word of God tells us how we should be living our lives. And I'll tell you something. You start reading that Bible and you start reading the things that the Lord says and that Holy Spirit starts to convict you, starts to talk to you and starts to say, hey, wait a second. You're not really up to par where you should be. It doesn't take you long to figure out that you could be doing better as a Christian. Every time you read this Bible, would you agree that the Bible tells you you could be doing better? Well, listen. You're not to compare yourself to other Christians. You're comparing your life to what the Word of God says you're supposed to be living. Yes, I'll tell you this, folks. You're living in a time to where Christianity as a whole, as in general, has become lukewarm, just as the Bible predicted that they would be. We're living in a time where many Christians have become apostasy is just running rampant. It's really easy for a Christian today that's committed to the Lord to say, well, compared to everybody else, I'm doing pretty good. It's easy. It's easier to do that today than it's ever been before. But may I tell you, we can't compare ourselves to other people. We got to compare ourselves to Christ. So when you compare yourself, your life that you're living right now to compared to what the Word of God says, do you really think that you can't, that there's no room for improvement? There is. We're not to compare ourselves to other people. We're not to get comfortable where we're at. Our standard must always be the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are so many Christians today that are comfortable. They say, you know what, I'm right where I need to be spiritually. No, you can always get closer to the Lord. You can always get closer. You can always be more obedient. You can always do more for the Lord. You know, you start to read about some of the things that the people in that Bible did. Pick any of them. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. They would just pick the Apostle Paul. And you say, well, that's not fair. He's one of the, you know, he was an apostle. Well, sure he was. But, I mean, would you rather me pick Elijah? we'll just pick anybody, particularly the Apostle Paul. In his daily life that you read about him and the things he did for the Lord, you realize he's going to be standing at that judgment seat the same as you are? You ever think about that? You ever think about the things that he did for the Lord and where he walked from town, you know, from city to city, or he took a ship from this place to that place and he walked around and the people that he led to the Lord? You are going to be standing at the same judgment seat that he's standing at. You ever read the Fox Book of Martyrs and some of the things that those people died for? You're going to be standing at the same judgment seat that they're standing at. How do you think it's going to go for you that day? What I'm trying to say is this. We all have a lot of room for improvement. I'll tell you this, we're supposed to use Christ as a standard. But if I didn't use Christ as a standard, I used the Apostle Paul as a standard, I'd still fall well short. Amen? I mean, we've got a long ways to go. But Christ has been our standard. We can never be satisfied. Listen, this morning, if you're satisfied where you're at in your Christian walk, you need to get right with the Lord. Because you're not where God wants you to be. Nobody in this room is where God wants you to be. Why? Because we're to constantly be conformed to the image of Christ. How many of you have made it yet? Believe it or not, there are some Christians that think that they have. I've spoken to a Christian that basically told me that they've arrived. Nobody has arrived. Nobody is perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. We all have improvements. We all have problems. We all have those areas in our life that we need to work on. Hey, let's do more for the Lord this coming year than we did last year. Let's serve the Lord more this year than we did last year. Let's get rid of some of the things in our life that's hindering our walk with Christ. Get rid of them this year where we haven't got rid of them in the past. And do more for the Lord. Don't ever get satisfied where you're at. Don't ever get satisfied. One of the things we need to do is be dissatisfied with our life. Then the second thing that Paul says that we must do, if we're going to do more for the Lord and serve God better this coming year than we did last year, is not only not be satisfied with our life and where we're at as Christians, but we also ought to make sure that we're moving in the right direction. How many of you know that there are some times that we just kind of go back to places where we shouldn't go back to, and we start doing things that we know are wrong that we've done in the past? And a few weeks ago we spoke about in a message about that one besetting sin. You know, that one sin that seems to always get us. That one besetting sin that we just always have a hard time getting victory over. And you say, well, why do I keep on going back to that one sin? We all have that one sin. And the Bible tells us what to do about that sin. But the problem is whenever we fall into that sin again, we're basically going back when we should be going forward. Amen? In other words, we should get the victory over it and just keep on moving, but sometimes we kind of turn back and go back the way it was. We sometimes head in the wrong direction. There are Christians maybe right here in this room this morning that you served the Lord more year before last than you did last year. May I tell you, if that's the case, you're going in the wrong direction. Amen? Well, listen, if you're going in the right direction, then we should be more conformed to Christ this coming year than we were this year. That's the right direction. And so Paul here, he talks about going in the right direction. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing. He was totally focused. This one thing. He was focused on worshiping Jesus Christ. The thing that Paul made the very top priority in his life was serving the Lord. And if only every believer in this room would make that the top priority this coming year, serving the Lord. If every believer were to make serving the Lord their top priority, we wouldn't have problems in the churches that we have today. If every believer said, you know what, my number one priority is serving the Lord. It's not about politics. It's not about trying to make myself look good in other people's eyes. It's not about doing the things I do so people can pat me on the back. It's not about doing the things I do so somebody can give me a compliment. It's not about those things. My number one priority is serving the Lord. If every Christian would think that way, we wouldn't have the problems that we have in churches that we have today. You know why we have problems in the church we have today is because people are doing the things they do for themselves. They're not doing it for the Lord. They don't come to church and say, you know what, I just want to hear truth. I want to hear the truth being preached. And by the way, there are a lot of preachers that aren't teaching truth today. There are a lot of preachers today that they just want to just teach their opinions. They don't want to preach what the Word of God says. They just, you know, they preach their convictions and they say, you know, this is the way I feel about it, so therefore all of you have to feel that way about it too. That's not what the Bible says. We're not supposed to preach our convictions. We're supposed to preach truth. But when a preacher does preach truth, that's what you should come for. You should come to hear the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. And when that truth is preached, you're supposed to do something about it. Hey, listen, I'll tell you something, folks. As your pastor, I wish that I could make you do the things that I preach about out of the Bible. I wish I could make myself do it too. But I can't make you do it. If I preach about some sin there and it says right there it's an abomination to God, you ought not do it. If you're doing it, stop it. I wish I could make you stop it. But I can't. I can't make you do anything. Like we spoke during Sunday school this morning, we give ourselves too much credit. We think that we can make people do things that we can't make them do. Everybody in this room who have went out and witnessed somebody, didn't you wish that you could make that person get saved? When you witnessed to them, didn't you say, you know what? Why aren't you getting saved? I don't understand why you're not getting saved. You need to get saved. Amen? If it were up to you, you would make them do that, wouldn't you? Problem is, if you can make them do it, you get the glory for them getting saved. You can't make them get saved. The only thing you're supposed to do is just be faithful and give them the gospel like the Lord told you to. You have no responsibility if they say no. You have no responsibility if they say yes, I'm going to get saved. Your responsibility is just give them the gospel. The rest of it's the Lord. He really takes the pressure off, doesn't he? I mean, he says this, if you'll just go out there and plant and water, I'll take care of the rest of it. But there are people today that won't even go out there and plant and water. Because sometimes they get depressed because they think, well, I go out there and witness and nobody ever gets saved. That's not on you. Just keep on going out there witnessing. Amen? Well, the problem is, you know, I go out and I come and I preach, and other preachers preach. We preach the gospel, and honestly, I wish I could make you do what the Bible tells you that you ought to do, but I can't make you do that. It's up to you. It's your choice. But what you need to be doing is you need to be going in the right direction, and that right direction is saying this, when the truth is preached to me, I'm going to take what God tells me and what the Bible tells me, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. In other words, I'm not just going to be hearers of the Word of God, I'm going to be doers of the Word of God. I'm going to do what he tells you to do. May I tell you this morning, if you just come in here just to hear truth and you walk away and you do nothing about it, why did you come? Why did you come? If the Lord is telling you need to take care of something in your life and you don't do it, then why did, hey, listen, you could have stayed home this morning. Now, you never hear a Baptist preacher say that, amen? But that's the truth. Listen, your obligation, when you come to church, you know what your obligation is? Honestly, when that Bible's preached and that Holy Spirit puts his finger inside your chest and says, thou art the man, your obligation is to take care of whatever it is he's convicting you over. That's what your obligation is. That's the responsibility that you have. But so many Christians today, they come and say, oh, that was such a wonderful message, preacher. Oh, I got such a great blessing out of it. And they leave and do the exact same thing they were doing before they came in. Not do a thing about what the Bible tells them about. We got to be moving in the right direction. And if every believer would just get it in their head that it's not about the pastor, it's not about the members of the church, it's about serving the Lord, nothing else, worshiping him, we wouldn't have the troubles that we have. And then Paul continues to say in verse 13, he says this, talking about going in the right direction, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. You know, the unsaved are controlled by the past, but the Christians are to look forward to the future. Paul uses the word here, forgetting, but that doesn't mean a failing to remember. It means more of not being controlled by the past. In other words, we don't need to get all hung up on the past sins that we committed. Listen, once you have confessed those sins, that's it. Now, I know that's a hard thing for us to sometimes wrap our minds around, but once you, we all mess up every day. Amen? Now, if you're here this morning and you've never messed up, well you know, you're not being honest. We all mess up every single day. And the Lord knows we're going to mess up. And he expects us. Hey, listen, you're not going to catch God by surprise. And when you mess up, he's not going to say, did you? I can't believe Bob Crowder just now did that. No, God already knew that I would do it. He's interested. What is Bob Crowder going to do after he messes up? Is he going to confess his sin? Now, if Bob Crowder confesses his sin, you know what? After that, it's over.
Yes, sir.
Now, there may be some, you know, the Bible says that you're going to reap what you sow. There may be some of that there. But as far as getting things right with God, once you confess it, it is over. He's put as far as the east is from the west behind him. He doesn't remember it anymore. It's done. You're back in fellowship with him. That's the way it's supposed to be. But Christians have such a hard time sometimes of letting things go. Listen, if you're going to be moving in the right direction this year, if you're going to do more for the Lord this year than what you did last year, one of the things you have to do is you got to let the past go. You messed up. Fine, get over it. Confess the thing before the Lord and get moving in the right direction. But so many Christians say, you know, I just don't understand. I keep on messing up. I did this last year and I messed up there and I didn't serve the Lord like I was supposed to. I'm just an old sinner. I just don't know what I'm going to do myself. Baloney, get rid of it. And say, I'm going to serve the Lord this coming year. And I'm going to do more for him this coming year than I did last year. I'm going to read my Bible more this year. I'm going to pray more this year. I'm going to come to church more this year. I'm going to serve the Lord more this year. I'm going to volunteer more this year. I'm going to do everything I can do. Why? Because I might die this time next year. And this might be the last year I have to serve him. And I need to be moving in the right direction. So many Christians today are moving in the wrong direction. They're so hung up on the past that they can't move forward. And so Paul here, he says, forgetting those things that are past. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. God expects us. Listen, folks, we're going to make mistakes in life. But when we do that, we are to confess those sins and move on. We go through tough times. We call upon God to take care of us through those tough times, and he does. And when we see that, our faith begins to grow. The next time we know he's going to take care of us. We need to forget about the past in the sense of forgetting about the past sins, but let's not ever forget what God has done for us now. Let's never forget that the Lord has forgiven us in the past and he'll continue to forgive us. Let's never forget that God gives us grace. But let's not focus on our failures. Let's don't wallow in our own self-pity. Instead, we need to repent. We need to confess our sins before God and move on, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, as the song says, onward Christian soldiers. Now, if any of you have ever watched Little House on the Prairie, they sing like onward Christian soldiers all the time on that show. It's one of my favorite songs. In fact, every time I hear it, I feel like I want to march. In fact, it is a marching song. How many of you know that? That onward Christian soldiers, if you were actually to start to march, you could say, onward Christian soldier. It's a marching song. One of these days, we all as a church, and you go out there and just march around the parking lot and sing that, amen? It's a marching song. But you know, if you ever, you know, one of the things I learned when I was in the military is it's a bad idea when everybody is marching forward for you to stop and do this number. You know why? Because they're going to trample you. Because those people aren't going to stop. They're just going to keep on. And down you're going to go. Amen. How many of you know when you're running a race, the worst thing that you could do is turn around and look backwards while you're still trying to run forward? I mean, you're running as fast as you can, all of a sudden like this. What's going to happen eventually? Down you're going to go. Why? Well, you listen, because you're looking backwards. You're not supposed to be looking backwards, you're supposed to be looking forwards. You know what, as Christians, you know what we're supposed to be looking, keeping our eyes focused on all the time? It's not our past. It's not our sins of yesterday. What we're supposed to be staying totally focused on is one thing. The author and finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be staying focused on. When we're running our race, when we're marching on as onward Christian soldiers, we're supposed to be focused on Christ. Everything I do is because of him. I serve the Lord because of him. I confess my sins and repent because of him. I pray because of him. I read my Bible because of him. I have hope because of him. Everything is about him. And that's how you move forward. You start to look at other people, you start to look backwards, and you are going to fall on your face as a Christian. Because you got to be looking forward. If you're going to do more for the Lord this coming year, you've got to be making sure that you're going in the right direction. Don't be going backwards. Go forwards. And keep your eye on Christ. Because I tell you this, you keep your eye on Christ, and there's a pretty good chance that you just might see him this coming year. Physically. Why? Because that rapture could happen at any time. Amen? You just might see him. What a glorious thing that would be. Amen? Can you imagine the Lord coming back and you're moving and you're focused on him and you're moving in the right direction, you're serving him more this year than you did last year, and all of a sudden him come and get us? What a great day that'll be. Amen? But then again, it might not happen this year too. Maybe this year will be the year of your death. I know it's morbid, but there it is. It's truth. It could very well be. Nobody in this room is guaranteed that they will be sitting alive in a church this time next year. Nobody's guaranteed that. You're not guaranteed you're going to be alive come tomorrow. You're not guaranteed you'll be alive come tonight. Now, with that being said, if you're not saved in here this morning, that truth right there is enough. I'll be honest with you. If I were not saved, I would be scared to death to even walk out this church. Why? Ice on the road, people sliding. I mean, anything could happen to you. And the Bible says if you die without Christ, you die in your sins. The only chance that you have of not going to hell is to trust upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only chance you have. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You either trust in him or you don't go to heaven. It's that simple. And I'll tell you something. I can't think of a better way to start off the new year. If you're not saved here this morning, what a way to start off the new year saying, you know what? I'm going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the hope that these other Christians have. I want to know that heaven is my home. I'm going to trust that he died for my sins, that I owed a wage for my sins, which was death. I'm going to trust he paid my wage, and he died on the cross for the sin, for my sins, that he died, he was buried, and rose again the third day, and I'm just going to trust in what he did to get me to heaven. And I'm going to call on him and say, Lord, forgive me my sins. And may I tell you, if you do that this morning, he will, and he'll forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future, and then you could start going in the right direction. Because if you're not saved here this morning, you are not going in the right direction. You're not going up. You're going down. Amen? And if you are saved here this morning, if you're all caught up in the past, and you're looking at other people and other Christians and letting this Christian here stop you from serving the Lord, and, oh, this Christian over here, he made me mad. I'm just not going to go serve the Lord anymore. I'm not going to go to church anymore. I mean, after all, it's just an organization, and people always seem to make me mad. No, wait a second. You're not supposed to be focusing on them. You're supposed to be focusing on Christ. And if you're focusing on other people or you're focusing on your sins, you're going in the wrong direction. You need to turn around and start going in the right direction. I'm going to jerk this thing right off my shirt. We need to make sure we're going the right direction. And then the third thing, if we're going to serve the Lord more this coming year than we did last year, not only are we supposed to go in the right direction, but we also must be absolutely determined to serve him. Absolutely determined to serve him. If you look there in verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When he says, I press, Paul is putting all of his efforts into his Christian life. And we must be determined to do the same thing. Everything we do, everything we say, every action that we take must be for the Lord's sake. In our everyday lives, we must be determined to press towards the mark. You say, why? Well, because there's a prize waiting for us. When you're running the race, you know why those people are running there? Because they want to finish well. They want to, you know, when you look at the Olympics, whenever you see these people that are running so fast, and I was thinking about Usain Bolt, the fastest guy I ever saw in my life. How many of you ever seen that guy run? Well, in the Olympics, he's just trotting, looking around, everybody else, and he's just smoking people fast. But when he runs the end of that thing, you know what happens? He wins the race. He gets the gold medal. He stands up there. They play his national anthem, and he lowers his head. And the guy walks up there and puts that little thing around his neck with the gold medal. And he's honored. He's honored. How great would it be? You run this race as a Christian, and you run the race the best that you can, doing more for the Lord and more for the Lord, and doing it all for Him, keeping your eyes focused on Him the entire way, the same way that runner keeps his eye focused on that finish line. And all of a sudden, you finish the race, and maybe you didn't do a better job than this Christian, and maybe you didn't do a better job than this Christian, but you did what the Lord wanted you to do, and you finished your race. You fought the good fight of faith. You finished your course. And all of a sudden, the Lord walks up to you one of these days, and He's got this crown, and He hands this crown to you. And He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you say, "Well, that'd be great." No, that's not the great part. The great part is not receiving the crown. The great part, if you keep on reading in the book of Revelation, it says there towards the end that the kings come and present their crowns to the Lord. You know what that means? That means that the crown that you got, the Lord walks by, you can bow before Him and say, "Lord, this belongs to You. Because without Your power and the things that You gave me, I could have never done anything. It was all You. And the One who died for you, you would be handing something back for Him." Oh, it doesn't even come close to what He did on the cross for you. It doesn't even come close. But you're able to give something back to Him, and it's that crown. Wouldn't that be a great thing to do? You know, there are a lot of Christians that aren't running the race today that don't even care about getting to the finish line. They're out living, doing whatever they want to do. They're not serving the Lord. They're not reading their Bible, not doing the things God told them to do. Last year they might have done it a little bit, but this year they aren't done it at all. They're heading in the wrong direction. And when the time comes for the Lord to hand them a crown, they're not going to get a crown. And when the Lord walks through and all these other people are taking their crowns and they're laying at the feet of Jesus. By the way, it says over in Revelation chapter 19 that when He comes back, He's wearing many crowns. You ever ask yourself where those many crowns came from? When Jesus comes walking by and you have a chance to take those crowns and lay it at Jesus' feet, and you're standing there and you don't have a crown. I wonder if people are going to look at you and say, "Hey, how come you don't have a crown? You know, all you had to do is go tell others about Jesus Christ. By the way, there's a crown for that. All you had to do is look forward to His coming. By the way, there's a crown for that. All you have to do is be prepared to be persecuted. Be persecuted for your beliefs." In other words, you could have went out and witnessed to somebody, but you was afraid what they were going to say to you. They might be nasty to me, so I'm just not going to say anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. You get a crown for being persecuted, and you couldn't even get a crown to give to the Lord who died on the cross for you? What a thing that would be. You know, we got to be determined to live our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. And for no other reason, because what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. That's the reason we do it. You don't serve the Lord just because somebody else, you're trying to outdo somebody else. You don't serve the Lord because somebody else might give you a pat on the back and say, "Good job." What does that mean? Nothing compared to the Lord saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Which one would you rather hear? Bob Crowder saying, "Nah, you did a good job, boy. You, wow, what a great job of preaching. What a great job teaching those teens. What a great job teaching these people. What a great job going out telling other people about the Lord. Good job. Oh yeah, that means so much." Compared to what? Jesus Christ saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Here's a crown." That's what you do it for. We need to be determined that this coming year that we do more for the Lord than we did not only last year, but the year before and the year before that. And you say, "Well, what happens if I'm still here this time next year?" Then do more for the Lord the year after. Amen? Why? That's called moving in the right direction. That's called doing things for the glory of the Lord. That's called being conformed to the image of Christ. So the question again this morning is this. Are you satisfied where you are in your Christian walk? Are you satisfied with what you have done for the Lord this past year? And if you are, well, I guess the rest of the sermon really isn't for you. But if you're not, are you willing to move in the right direction this coming year? Are you determined to do more for the Lord this coming year than you did this past year? Are you determined to do that? Let's stand.